Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi David. Shabbat Shalom, Mishpacha. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our home. Today, very interesting Torah portion, Lech Lecha. Get yourself out. I give this name to my Torah portion, the only way to discover yourself. So let's read from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. So please open Bibles with me and let's read carefully this beautiful place of scripture. So chapter 12 begins with the story of the great calling of God to the great men of God who were able to change the world. Abraham was able to change the whole world. He was faithful to the Lord. So let's read together. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Then Adonai said to Abram, "Get going out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great so that you may be a blessing. My desire is to bless those who bless you. But whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Verse 4. So Abram went, just as Adonai had spoken to him. Also Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. What a story. What a story we can find here. Story of beautiful life, of the life of the man of God. Abram was so humble and so brave. His story is the story of life led by the purpose from God and by his calling from the Lord. When I read this place of scripture, I had a couple interesting thoughts in my head, and I believe I want to share it with you. Many are the people who struggle with questions about themselves. They wonder about who they really are. What is their purpose in life? Why they were born in this world? Some people cannot find themselves and they live constantly in fear, are stressed by uncertainty, and finally look back with regret on opportunities that have been presented to them, but which they failed to seize. A struggle with such questions is what we call an identity crisis. Identity crisis. I know I want to share with you small truth, but important truth. We all desire to belong to something or to someone. This is in our heart. That desire often drives us to respond in ways which are unhealthy and futile. People who lack self-identification and who have poor self-esteem may develop assertive habits and aggressive inclinations, or from another hand, low self-esteem. Sometimes people may try to find confirmation of their worth in other people, hoping to earn the respect of others. You know, this may be healthy to a certain degree, for sure. But when it becomes a response to an identity crisis, when it becomes a constant attempt to establish oneself in the eyes of another, that becomes an unhealthy habit that takes control of one's life. And we need to be very careful with it because we are called to be somebody and we are called somewhere. At that point, such people lead their lives driven by their belief of what other people, maybe their family members or their boss or people around, what these people say about them or believe they are or think they should become. It is so important, so I want to repeat one more time. Sometimes people are led and driven by their belief of what other people say about them or believe they are. or think they should become. You know, for people controlled by an identity crisis, I have one statement which you can take to the bank. I believe this simple truth can turn your life around, can set you free. The Lord has a great surprise for you, a great blessing for you. This is truth. The most important thing in our life, in our lives, is not what other people think of us, and not even what we ourselves think of ourselves. But the most important thing in life, what the Lord thinks of us. I want to stop here, and please take a moment to think about it. The most important part is to know what the Lord thinks of us. This is freedom. This is joy. This is the source of blessings for us, to know what the Lord thinks of us. This is a liberating and healing truth that can change our lives, our actions, and even our character. And this is true. This is what the Lord wants to us. It is His blessing to us. And when I thought about Abraham's life, I believe he found his place. The Lord showed him his place. He was the happiest person on this earth, even though he went through many trials and many difficulties. Living in dependence on the opinion of others, or our perception of their opinion, that is an identity crisis. This is identity crisis. But living to please God, to know Him, to follow Him and please Him, that is the evidence that we understand our true worth. We are so precious. We are so important to the Lord. When we identify with Him, the questions are answered, and we know beyond all doubt why we were born, what is our reason to live. So let's go back to Abraham and his life. You know, Lord, He's merciful. He is so kind to us. He knows everything. He knows our future from the beginning, every day of our lives in His book. Lord knows our human weaknesses. He knows from the beginning. And you know, I want to share something with you. This is what my impression from this place of scripture. He knew that Abram, would never have become Abraham. Once again, the Lord knew that Abram would never have become Abraham if he had stayed in his home. Abram would never have been able to build a new life or correct his character. Abram would never have learned to trust God if he had stayed with his relatives, because he would have always been guided by other opinion and humbled by their influence over his life. He would always have his family idols around him, and he would always be pulled by their old family traditions. It is so important to understand. It was necessary for Abram to go from his place to become Abraham. Please understand me. This is not about family relationships. I don't speak about family relationships, because we can see examples of God's family, of Abraham and Isaac, and many other examples in scripture, where the family stayed together and were helpful to one another. I don't speak about this part of family life. What I'm talking about, it is an inner freedom from other dependence on the opinions of other people. So we can't depend on somebody. We need to depend on God. I'm talking about the need we all have for a self-esteem based on an accurate picture of our true value in God's eyes. The Lord loves us, and we need to know how much He loves us to be free, to be joyful, to be children of God in full meaning of this word. This is what Scripture calls us to, an accurate view of ourselves as we are, seen through the eyes of the Lord. Because this is the only source of truth, the Lord, His mind, His Scriptures. I remember times when I wrote places from the Bible, and it was a long time ago, many, many years ago. I wrote what the Lord speaks of His children, what is His attitude towards us. And I read it every morning out loud to myself. So it helped me to see myself in light of Scriptures. It's really helped me. It was the blessing time to me. And actually, it is a good exercise for many of us today, and we can do it for ourselves. It's very healthy. How important is this accurate view is today, when we constantly hear from the media and social networks how we should look, what we should eat, what we must wear in order to be successful in life and appear normal and acceptable in the eyes of our neighbors. You know, I don't need to tell you, because we know, every one of us knows, that these voices around us, what we need to be, what we need to become to be acceptable. But I want to remind you a lesson from the last week. The Noah, if he tried to be normal and acceptable for the people around him, he would never have built an ark, and he and his family would not have been saved. The human race would have ended. Thank you, Noah. You were not normal in the eyes of people. You were a true believer. You trusted the Lord. And in the life of Abraham, Abraham was no different. Thank you, Abraham. Abraham told to the Lord he would do as the Lord said. And he was true to his word, following through just as the Lord told him to do. I want us to know, to remember, that he had a good life, familiar life, but he dropped it, walked away from everything he knew. It was very, very brave statement in his life. He went on a stormy journey, a rough and bumpy ride with many shocks, hunger, betrayal and war, many things happening to his life because he trusted the Lord. I want to capture your attention for 1 second and show you something important here. In the literal sense of the word, his past life died. He died for his past life. All ties with family, everything that he loved and valued so much, his three squares, his sleep by number bed, anything that might have contributed to his crisis of identity, he left it all behind for the sake of an identity with God. He decided to know God's identity, to find what the Lord thinks about him. He entered into a new life, the only foundation of which was his faith and relationship with God, who called himself his friend. He left everything, and he became to be a friend of God. Can you imagine hearing God says that you are his friend? This is our dream. This is our goal, to be friends of the Lord. What a brave thing Abraham did. But you know that faith in God is a bold decision, and cowardly people have no place in the ark. I want to read from Revelation chapter 21, and please open it with me. It is the book of Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. And I want to read the beginning of this verse and the end of this verse. Please open it with me. But for the cowardly and faithless, their lot is in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow, what a place of Scripture. What a strong and deep place of Scripture. This passage refers to people who fear losing their benefits and comforts, their past sinful lives, who turn out to be unfaithful to the Lord, betraying the Lord and his people. This is about such people. But regarding Abraham, the good news is that he not only lost his old self with his habits and sins, but goodbye crisis identity. He found his real life. He found his real self. He became Abraham, the father of many. Please think about it. Ever since that time, Abraham has been known as the father of the Jewish people. He is the father of all believers, all people who claim themselves as Christians. And he is the father for all Muslim world. He is the father of all world. He is the blessing for many families in this world. Abraham became a blessing to the nations, a man of God and a friend to God. His life is an example for nations to follow. Thanks to Abraham, the world is forever changed because he found himself in the Lord. He found his identity, not in his past, not his previous life, but in the life with the Lord. He became to be Abraham. So now I want to go into direction to towards us, how this truth can be applied to you and to me today. And I want to share a couple interesting lessons with you, and tomorrow I will continue it. So, first lesson, very simple but very important to remember. You and I have been called to faith, to a new relationship with God. Faith, it's actually a new relationship with God. And how did Yeshua feel about this? So I want to read from Matthew chapter 10, because he addressed the subject, the same subject, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. So let's read through the life of Abraham, through the eyes of Abraham. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me isn't worthy of me. Wow. So which means if you are following Yeshua and carrying your old self, your old identity, your old self with your sins, this is not right to do. Verse 39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Once again, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Isn't it about Abraham? Yes, it's about him. When I thought about this very serious passage in the Bible, I came to several conclusions that I want to share with you. The first one, my conclusion about this place. Yeshua's calling is always a very serious challenge for you and me. And very often it can cost us something, and sometimes very, very much. I know that when you believe in Yeshua, you have to change your environment, often part with your old habits and even go against the traditions sometimes and values of your family, just as Abraham did. I can hear the questions right now. And what if my relatives will say bad things about me if I come to the Messiah, to Yeshua? Because everyone knows that Jews do not believe in Yeshua. What if they say that I betrayed Judaism? I betrayed my people and our traditions, and I have become a Christian? Or I can hear another question for some of you. Somebody can ask, what if your relatives will say bad things about how can you attend a messianic synagogue? Think about it, synagogue. What if your old friends say you have backslidden and joined Jews? How could you betray Jesus Christ and the church? How could you betray your people and your traditions and stop being Christian? But the most important thing for Abraham was not what people said about him, but what the Lord said about him. Let's think about this. the Lord is the most important. This is called faith and obedience to the Lord, obedience to God. Besides that, who said that the Jews do not believe in Yeshua? Who said this? Or who said that the believers in the Messianic synagogues are betraying Jesus? Who said this? Who is this judge who determines for all Jews and non-Jews whom to believe and to whom not believe? And please, listen to me, hear me carefully. If some rabbis or church fathers said something because they think so, it is their right to think. It is their right to think. And our duty is to check their words against that what the Lord says in the scriptures and to act in accordance with the word of God. This is our duty. So they can say many things. Check everything according to the scriptures. The fact is that everyone will answer for himself on the day of Yom Kippur, at the last judgment day. At that time, we will all stand before the Lord. Do you think he will ask us if we were true to the opinions of our neighbors and relatives? Will they have written our name in the Lamb's Book of Life? I mean, our neighbors or relatives. No. We will be judged on the basis of what is written in the Bible or Torah. The scriptures will be the only word we are measured against. Only the scriptures. So this is very important for us to remember, to embrace always in our life. Please think about it. The most important, what the Lord thinks about us. What is his view? What is his opinion? What does he say in the scriptures to us? And to embrace it. From the history, Jewish Messianic Judaism, the first Messianic communities, or if you must call it the first church, is the same, was born in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago, much earlier than traditional Orthodox Judaism and much earlier than the official Catholic Church. The first believers who accepted the Messiah Yeshua were Jews. And on the great Jewish holiday of Shavuot, the Holy Spirit was poured on the Jews, 3,000 of them, and the Jewish apostles, who together composed the first Jewish Messianic community. This was the beginning of the revival in Israel. That is the group which today is often called the First Church. Those believers, all were Jews. They were not just secular Jews or Jews who were far from the traditions of the fathers. Jews in Jerusalem were the most religious, the best educated, the most studied in the scriptures of any Jews at that time. They knew the scriptures like the back of their hand. So I have one very interesting place of scripture to share with you, actually a very excited place of scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 21, verse 8. So, Jews in Jerusalem, the most religious Jewish people. So how they greet Yeshua as he entered Jerusalem? Let's read together. Matthew 21, verse 8. So Yeshua is entering Jerusalem. He is the Messiah. Verse 8, most of the crowd spread their clothing on the road, and others began cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going before him and those following kept shouting, saying, Hashiana to Ben David, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hashiana in the highest. Wow. It was the prayer of Hashanot, the Sukkot greetings of the Messiah, the King who came to rule the earth. They recognize him as the Messiah and the King. Very simple truth. Since Adam, all the heroes of the Bible have always differed from other people in that they followed God and went against the flow, for which they endured a lot of in their lives. And we can found in Hebrews chapter 11, describes these people in great detail. And also, and throughout all history, many rabbis and Torah teachers have come to the conclusion that Yeshua is the promised Messiah and believed in him. So I want to give you a couple names. Please check this information in the internet. You can find some of the very interesting names and information about some very interesting people, rabbis who found Yeshua, the Messiah. So first rabbi, Rabbi Chil Slastovsky, an authority in Kashrut. He was an Orthodox rabbi who came to believe in Yeshua as the Messiah. Ordained at the age of 17, he became a gadol, great man, in Poland, leading congregations and serving in the rabbinic seminary Lodz. Pre-state Israel's chief rabbi, Rav Avraham Yitzchak Kook, invited Slastovsky to Israel and appointed him secretary to the chief rabbinate of Jerusalem. So this rabbi came to faith in Yeshua. Rabbi Sam Stern. He was born in Poland into a strict Orthodox Jewish rabbinic home just after the devastation of World War I, and he found the Messiah. The son of a rabbi, Rabbi Daniel Tzion. He was elected chief rabbi of Bulgaria. Rabbi Israel Zoli, chief rabbi of Rome. He found the Messiah. Rabbi Yitzhak Lichtenstein was a believing righteous man who served as the chief rabbi of the northern district of Hungary from 1857 until 1892. He believed in Yeshua the Messiah. He found Yeshua the Messiah. I had the privilege in my life to know and to be part of the way to salvation of the Reform Rabbi Alexander Bortnik, who lived in Nikolaev, Ukraine, who came to Messiah Yeshua and became a part of Messianic Synagogue in Haifa, in Israel. I remember when we opened our Messianic congregation in Nikolaev, Ukraine, in 1998. He was not a believer in Yeshua at the time, and oh boy, he was so mad at me. He was so angry at me. When I saw him on the street, I was going in the opposite side of the road because he always was on me because of my faith. He was so angry at me. So I don't have time to tell all this story. Maybe sometimes I will tell all this story. But by the mercy of the Lord, his nephew came to our congregation. Can you imagine? And after some time later, his father-in-law came to congregation, to our congregation, and became to be a member there. It was a long process of our prayers, of our fasting for him, but he came eventually. After some time, he moved to Israel and he found the Messiah and became my friend. And many more rabbis and leaders of the Jewish world accepted Yeshua as their Savior and Messiah. And for many of them, it cost their careers and even their lives. Therefore, accepting faith in the Lord and trusting Him can be a very expensive proposition, but it is the only way to blessings and joy and life in the Lord. Accept Him. The Lord is holy and calls us to be holy and to change our lifestyles. He calls us to be separated out as people who allow Him to fulfill His will in our lives. So, therefore, the good news for us and the first lesson from the life of Abraham is that Abraham not only lost his old self, but he found his new self in the Lord, through the Lord. So, Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, he who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. In order to start thinking about ourselves correctly, we first have to do tshuva, turn our lives around and repent. We need to come to Yeshua. And we must understand that when we accept Yeshua, although we may lose something, we pay a price. We became wrong in someone's eyes. The fact is that we truly find ourselves. We know who we are, and we become a source of blessing to people around us and to the world in Messiah Yeshua, through Messiah Yeshua. I would like to reply a very simple but practical lesson that can help us a lot. Find places from the Bible that the Lord speaks of His children. What is His attitude towards us? And read it every morning out loud to yourself, so you will be able to see yourself in light of Scriptures. Remember that you will never be able to justify yourself by your good deeds. The Lord loved you from your birth. When you were not able to do anything except cry and eat, the Lord already loved you and had a great plan for your life. I want to end with an interesting place of Scripture. It's Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. How much more then, having now been set right by His blood, shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? I have a simple question to you. How many good and worthy deeds did you do before Yeshua died for you? None. But He already loved you. Please think about this. Think about this. He loves you so much because who you are. Because you are His son and you are His daughter. You are so precious to Him. Thank you very much for your attention and your time. Tomorrow we'll learn a few lessons from the life of Abraham, and we'll go farther and we'll find more interesting things in his life, through his life. And before I will close with this time with Aaron's blessings, as we normally do at Beth Israel, and then we will return to the painter home for a final worship song, I would like to ask you, if life from home is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel with your faithful giving. Thank you for your generosity. So let's pray together. Let's receive blessing from the Lord. Yeverecha Adonai veishmerecha. Yaer Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Isa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom